This is Scott Becker with Becker's Healthcare. I'm thrilled today to be joined by the CEO of Alpha Health with Malinka Walili-Ade. Malinka is going to talk to us about Alpha Health, what they're doing, some of the problems that systems are seeing in revenue cycle, and a lot more. Malinka, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thank you, Scott. So I'm Malinka, CEO of Alpha Health, as Scott mentioned. Prior to Alpha Health, I spent several years at a venture capital firm called Andreessen Horowitz, or A16Z, which is based out of Menlo Park in the Bay Area. I helped start the healthcare investing team there. I worked in about 20 investments through my time there across providers, payers, biotech companies, healthcare technology companies, totaling about $250 million in investments. And we also built and had very deep relationships with some of the largest health systems in the U.S. And through all of that, it became very clear to me that there are fundamental challenges in the infrastructure of healthcare and actually plugging into the financial systems of healthcare and getting paid for the work that providers are doing. And after that, it became very clear that there are ways to apply modern technology to meaningfully change the way we do those processes today, to do medical billing, to do revenue cycle today. And then what we've been able to put together is a fantastic team and approach where we leverage some of the best machine learning engineers in the world, along with some of the best revenue cycle folks in the world, and build a fundamentally different and better approach to solve an old problem like revenue cycle.
Let me ask you a question. Before we get started, you founded this firm, you're co-founder of Alpha Health. Before this, you were yourself a serious investor, investing in healthcare businesses through a major venture capital fund and did fantastic in that. Do you ever look back and question your judgment to move from just the investor stage, investor spot, to actually running the show? Do you ever think twice about that thought process that led you to do this?
It's a great question, Scott. In many of our portfolio companies, they would spend enormous resources, usually on the clinical side of care. They were solving some clinical problem. And then as soon as it came time for them to commercialize, it became very clear to me that there weren't really any meaningful solutions available for them to plug in and get reimbursed for the work they were doing. Once all of those things became very clear to me and I understood how machine learning could be applied in this area, it became the easiest decision in the world.
Fascinating. So this must be a very exciting time for you. And talk for a moment about Alpha Health. Give us the overview of Alpha Health.
Sure. So at Alpha Health, our mission is to remedy the financial complexity crippling healthcare in America. And the way we do this is via a solution we've developed that we call unified automation. Now, there have been other attempts at applying automation in the revenue cycle in the past. Some of them are through older technologies like RPA and things like that. What we found, though, is that those older technologies really only work well in static environments, because they really do break in very complex and dynamic environments like revenue cycle. Our approach is quite different. And as we developed it, we looked at other industries where very complex environments had been automated. So for example, there were a lot of approaches and lessons we were able to learn from how they automate self-driving cars. So we built an entirely proprietary technology stack from the ground up, specifically for revenue cycle. And let me describe it a little bit. So our unified automation system, step one is we use proprietary technology to get a 360-degree view of what existing workflows look like, right? And in doing so, we capture the inputs and outputs of these workflows, and then we build a machine learning model that can automate the work based on those inputs and outputs. And then the critical final step is to have human experts to deal with the outliers. Because the reality is that there's no way you can build a single automation system that can accommodate any different scenario you can think of. So much of healthcare is in dealing with the long tail. And we think a lot of folks in the space, in automation especially, don't really think about meaningfully about how you deal with the outliers and the long tails. And so we've invested an enormous amount of time in not just automating parts of the revenue cycle flow, but also understanding what and how to deal with outliers, how to quickly deal with outliers so there's no effect to production, and how to learn from outliers and continue to make your machine learning better and better.
Malinka, take a moment. When you speak about outliers, take a moment to explain what you mean for our audience. I think I know what you mean, but help me understand that our audience understand it better.
Sure. So I will use actually an example from the self-driving car world to start, and then I'll transition it over to what that might look like in the revenue cycle world. Let's take a self-driving car. It's driving along the road. As it's driving, it's making decisions. The model is making decisions based on what it's seen before. But as soon as it sees something it's never seen before, for example, it sees a couch on the road, right? It's never seen a couch on the road. It doesn't know what to do. It is going to, and this is the way that some of the self-driving companies handle outliers, it is going to stop, pull over. A virtual driver sitting in some remote center can take control of the car, help the car drive around the couch, and then that driver can virtually jump back up. And the car learns how a human dealt with that outlier scenario and can deal with it moving forward. So we took a very similar approach for us. So for example, if our automation system is used to dealing with a certain type of response from pairs, and if suddenly a pair changes how they respond to a certain type of claim, our automation system is able to pause, loop in a human expert to evaluate it, tell the algorithm whether what it was going to do was correct or not, and then jump back up. So that's an example of both an outlier, but also how we would deal with an outlier.
Got it. And so the concept being a claim or some behavior or something that's very unusual, it's not seen every day by the system, but can have serious money attached to it, or can be important, can have a long tail to it, and you got to figure out with AI and so forth how to deal with that outlier.
That's exactly right.
Talk to me further about some of the challenges that you're trying to solve with unified automation. Talk to us further about some of the challenges you're trying to solve.
So at the heart of it, what we're working on is allowing revenue cycle leaders to do more with less. Every revenue cycle leader we've ever spoken with has this incredibly difficult challenge where they have to accommodate more and more complex and change of paying environments while at the same time simultaneously trying to reduce their cost, especially in this environment that's becoming more and more important. And what they've tried to do before is add more bodies to solve the problem or use new types of technology, but they're really not seeing gains anymore. Now, what you want is an automation system that actually becomes better with more data, that becomes better as complexities and volumes increase, that's able to take on more and more work and enable revenue cycle leaders to accomplish 100% of what they need to do without sacrificing on quality and at the same time reducing costs. This is actually a very hard problem. This is an incredibly hard problem to solve. And that's why there really haven't been meaningful solutions here before. We actually think that revenue cycle leaders have been vastly underserved by modern technology entrepreneurs. I'm sure you've seen this as well, Scott. A lot of modern machine learning entrepreneurs often focus on problems in the clinical side of healthcare. And there's really not much attention paid to the back office administrative operations, which we at Alpha Health recognize as, one of the core challenges that is holding large parts of healthcare back in this country. So what we've been able to do is put together this team, this bilingual team of folks where we have machine learning engineers that actually deeply understand revenue cycle concepts. And then we have these revenue cycle folks, people who have either worked at revenue cycle companies before or have actually led revenue cycle teams who actually understand how machine learning models are built. Pulling those folks together, we've been able to build this solution that can deal with very complex scenarios, automate them, and bring peace of mind to revenue cycle leaders.
Talk to us for a moment about healthcare and companies, providers, systems, who you work with, and whether your clients had to pivot during COVID-19, whether you pivoted your business COVID-19, sort of how it impacted the business you're doing.
So what we actually saw across the first part of the pandemic was a lot of our clients who are typically mid to large health systems were dealing with the clinical shock of the pandemic. But once they passed those first few months, the operational reality of what they needed to do started setting in. And what we've actually seen is this environment is accelerating the move to automation. And we've actually seen a lot of interest and growth over the last few months with our customers and newer customers. You can really boil it down into a few different points that they're focusing on. The first being around business continuity. One of our customers actually told us in the early part of the pandemic that they were incredibly happy they could lean on our unified automation system to get the work they needed to do done while their own internal staff were switching to remote. So across March, for example, at this customer, we saw that the output of their internal staff reduced by 40% because as they switched remote work, it was taking them a long time to get used to it. Whereas our unified automation system's output in terms of getting work done was staying consistent day in, day out, and was able to handle all of that work without skipping a beat. And we've seen that across the last few months as well. And the second point really is around staffing flexibility. As you know, I'm sure you've seen and we've seen, there is an enormous amount of variance in terms of patient volume at health systems these days, and it becomes very, very hard to staff against it. We've heard revenue cycle leaders say in this month they have to furlough 50% of their staff and then bring back 25% the next month and then go back to furloughing a bunch of them, because it's very, very hard to predict how many staff you need relative to expected volumes. One of the really great things about unified automation is that you can dial up or dial down as much activity or as much revenue cycle processing as you need. And so we've actually seen that over the last few months where as volumes dipped, our revenue cycle system decreased in terms of output. And then as they picked back up, it was able to increase very, very significantly without any of the painful process involved with furloughing or unfurloughing staff. And then the final thing is the way we deploy our unified automation system has always been fully virtual. Even before the pandemic, we had invested in how do we deploy our solution with customers while minimizing the amount of time that we spend on site. Other automation solutions we've seen or other approaches to this, folks often have to go on site, spend a lot of time shadowing staff, doing things like that. And in this environment, that's actually not possible to do in many cases. For example, with our last customer, we were able to deploy end-to-end all the way through to production in 14 weeks without stepping a foot on site. And so because of features like that we've built into our solution, it's actually been something that we've been very fortunate to have our customers be able to lean on across this time.
And critical that it's easy enough to implement so people can get up to speed on it and start using it as well. Because nothing worse than buying a system that's impossible to get inputted.
That's exactly right.
Malenka, we've talked a lot about today whether providers had to pivot in this period of time, how they had to adjust, how you were able to implement things virtually because that's how you were doing business to begin with, how you tried to make implementation, you know, as clean and easy as possible for customers and clients. What we've not talked about is, you know, the rage the last couple of years has been AI, machine learning, automation, how to add it to revenue cycle. Every CFO in the country, every leader in charge of revenue cycle is being told by some company that they've got the right revenue cycle solution or the right AI solution. How does a CFO or a director of revenue cycle, how do they differentiate when they're being pitched different revenue cycle answers on the AI and machine learning side?
That's a great question, Scott. Yes, I can certainly appreciate the challenge for any health system leader where they're getting the alphabet soup of AI or machine learning that a lot of people are talking to them about. And it's extremely hard for them to know whether how much of this machine learning they're being pitched is really real and how much of it actually makes a difference in the solution they're getting. So one of the things that's very important for us at Alpha Health is to actually academically publish on the cutting edge technology we're bringing to bear. So there's this very interesting dichotomy in healthcare, we think, where when we adopt new science and technology on the clinical side of care, we put so much academic rigor around what new technologies or science we approach, right? There's a lot of academic publication, peer-reviewed study, all of that. But for whatever reason, we don't apply that same level of academic rigor to adopting new innovation on the back office of healthcare. And I think that's one of the reasons that American medicine is the best in the world, but the American healthcare system is truly not, unfortunately. And so there are many, many vendors in the operational, in the back office healthcare space that talk about AI a lot, but do not actually back it up with any sort of academic validation. And one of the things we're trying to do very different at Alpha Health is actually publish on this stuff. So for example, earlier this year, our top tier machine learning team, which is led by our CTO, who is a PhD in AI from Stanford, they published a paper around predicting denials from payers. Could you predict a denial on a claim from a payer even before you actually send the claim out? And we actually found that we were able to predict 75% in the data set that we worked with, 75% of all denials before a claim would be sent out. This was something we're incredibly proud of. We published in the paper that was accepted to be presented at one of the top machine learning conferences in the world. It was actually selected for one of six spotlights at that conference. And the other six were from giant academic labs at places like Hopkins, Cambridge, NASA, And so that's something we're trying to do to make it very clear. We truly are building very meaningful technology. It is being applied in a very practical, realistic way to actual applications in the revenue cycle, and we're actually publishing peer-reviewed research on it.
It's actually fascinating. If you could predict upfront what's going to get rejected, and people can intuitively do it, but not in a systematic, great way like AI and machine learning can, then you could clean claims on the front end and hopefully do a ton better collecting on the back end. Isn't that the case?
That's exactly the case. And I'd encourage anyone trying to understand how much machine learning is really real in the solutions that are being pitched to them to really dig into some of the work underlying those solutions.
Thank you very much. And we'll sort of now turn to another subject, which is now that we have sort of at least systems moving back to performing all kinds of procedures, ramping back up and busy again, talk about how some of the practices learned during the COVID period will lead to better awareness in terms of business continuity going forward and better use in future crises.
Sure. So one of the great things we are seeing now is that for many hospitals, including some of our customers, volumes are recovering. And as they think about business continuity, they should take advantage of the fact that there is a willingness now among health system executives to invest in operational improvements, things like automation initiatives that they may not have been moving as fast on before. One of the benefits of something like a unified automation solution is that it can be used on a day-to-day basis. There are many, many benefits to those solutions beyond just business continuity. And then if there's an event where business continuity is required, then it's very nice to have this as the backstop to provide business continuity, but that shouldn't be thought of as the sole purpose. It's something that can help you day-to-day on an operational basis, and then if it's required, can also be used as a business continuity solution.
Malinka, you've made this great transition from investor, advisor, to true leader, CEO, co-founder. I'll ask you the final question. On a 1 to 10, how excited are you about the future?
I am a perpetual optimist. I would say I am a 10 in terms of the future for healthcare innovation. I think there have been some really, really fascinating changes made to our industry over the last several months, several new motivations for health system leaders and for entrepreneurs that I'm incredibly excited about. And so, yes, I'm very much a 10 on 10, not just from our perspective from automation, but broadly across healthcare innovation.
And how do people learn more about Alpha Health?
They can reach out to me. I'm malinka@alphahealth.com. That's M-A-L-I-N-K-A. Or they can just go on alphahealth.com, and we have a great amount of content that describes our approaches, how to think about machine learning in healthcare in meaningful ways.
Well, fantastic. Malinka, what a great pleasure to visit with you today on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Just tremendous what you're doing, and we wish you great success.
Thank you, Scott.